I had something else close to done written that I was going to do for Nuts and Bolts. This will still be Nuts and Bolts, which is a series that we've been in for a while, which just kind of unpacks who we are and who we aren't, and kind of keeps us focused on what God has put us here to do. And I was going to go a whole different direction. I had about half my sermon written, and we realized last week in spur of the moment that this was going to be our first week in this building. And so I felt like I just wanted to be sensitive to God to give me what it was that, if there was something else, and he did give me something else. Hopefully everything that's meant to come through this well. I've been praying first and foremost for myself all week, and then for you guys, and just having a clear understanding and just a cohesive idea of what this building means, what it represents, what it does, and what it doesn't. And so we're going to talk about the church building today. Let me start by reading our statement that's on the front page of our website. If you've ever logged onto the website, there's a statement there that kind of lets people know who we are. The Door is a non-denominational, Bible-believing, Jesus-proclaiming community. All are welcome at the Door. We are especially partial to pagans, heathen, and sinners. We can get an amen from that. At the Door, it is okay to not be okay. And yet, through a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, the indwelling of the power of the Holy Spirit and the transforming power of the Word of God, we strive and are able to be much more than what we've been for Him. We do not pretend to be something that we're not. And we have found extreme progress in honesty, transparency, and openness, all in humility. We are raw, we are real, and we are His. The sole purpose for the existence of the Door is to make Jesus-loving disciples, equip those disciples, and deploy those disciples into the front lines of kingdom service. This is who the Door is, and this is who the Door will continue to be. Just because we've moved locations changes nothing as far as what God has made us and what God has put us here for. And I say that because if you're anything like me, there's a bit of worry that happens with a move or with a big change and something that's special. And you wonder a lot of times if you're going to be able to maintain and protect and hold on to that thing that is special. And I just want to assure you guys that by the grace of God, we intend to absolutely hold on to what has made us special and what has made us unique in this community, which is a ridiculous love for Jesus Christ and the people of this community, that they may know Him as well. That's why we exist. That's what the Door is all about. There's growing pains involved with coming into a place like this, you know. Part of me felt dirty when we bought the building and I stood in here going, I'm doing everything I said I would never do. You know, because I'm the rogue guy. I'm the rebel that likes to kick and buck against the system. I really, truly believe, even in the biblical prescription that we see, that the church's greatest strength is when it grows out, not up. But we also know that God does different things with different people at different times. And so what's most important is that we are always in tune to Him and what He's doing, regardless of what we do or not want to do. And we believe that these growing pains that we're going to have coming into this building will equal kingdom gains. That's why we're doing it. That's why we're moving in here. We believe the growing pains that we're going to have will equal kingdom gains, which is why we're doing this. I've said it before. If we're about what God's about, guys, which is the Great Commission, then God's going to be about what we're about. We just need to continue to be about what God's about. So the first thing that we must understand as we grow is that we will have to be more intentional to keep the main things the main things. We will have to be intentional and deliberate in our gospel priority as we grow. And here's why. There's about 300 million non-churched people in America, making America one of the four largest unchurched nations in the world. That may sound weird to some of you. We're not who we used to be. And even with who we used to be, we weren't Christian. We were just Christianized. Each year, 4,500 churches close their doors permanently, never to reopen. Today, out of the approximately 350,000 churches in America, 4 out of 5 have either plateaued or they're declining. Which means that that number of 4,500 churches that close their door every year permanently is going to just increase. The reason I'm a huge fan of church plants and growing out instead of up is mostly due to this next stat. Several very large American denominations are finding that 80% of its converts that came to Jesus did it in churches that were 2 years old or less. We can actually attest to that here at the door. Out of the 48 baptisms that I told you that we had in our first 4.5 years, 40 of them happened underneath the 2 year mark when we were a fresh work. Why is that? I believe that firmly that the answer is simple. A new work is stripped down to their primary purpose, Jesus and gospel. That's what a new work is desperate for and built on and putting all their time, resources, money, attention into is Jesus and gospel. It's just a fully focused, reckless, radical gospel obsession that a new work has. We had that too when we planted. We didn't know what it was going to look like or what God was going to do, but we knew he was going to do something. We knew all we had to do was just hold the ball that he passed us, which was Jesus and gospel, right? And be about that. And try to keep the clutter, you know, from getting to be too much. Most of us have seen or experienced it. Once growth comes in a congregation or a church and it establishes itself, the focus shifts to accommodate the growth, right? That's just naturally how it works. The more you have, the more is required of you. The more things there are to worry about tend to take care of. That's some of the challenge in growth. And that utter gospel focus, before you know it, takes more and more of a backseat. And it's not that it's not there. It still remains. But it grows dull. It starts to grow dull. It's real simple with a machine. The more parts there are to a machine, the more maintenance that machine's going to require. The more maintenance a machine requires, the more downtime there is, right? The more downtime there is on a machine, the less it produces. And it happens with churches as well. Same idea. Bigger is not always better, unless you can maintain the drive and the focus and the passion of the main thing. And that's what we want to do at the door, and that's what we're asking you to help us do. For 4 years, we've been stumbling around trying to keep up with the growth, which has been difficult, but praise God. It was cool, you know. But this building right here, right now, guys, gives us an opportunity to chase it. This building and room to grow gives us an opportunity to get off of the defense for a while and go on to the offense. And that's what God has put his church on earth and left his church on earth to do, to go on the offensive for the gospel of Jesus Christ, and to see people won. We do not want to just grow here for the sake of growth. Just because we have more space, don't go back to your old churches and go back to your Christian neighbors and say, come on over, we got a seat. I know that sounds horrible. That's not the kind of growth we're looking for. We still are bent on conversion growth. We want to see kingdom growth. We don't want to see transfer growth. We don't want to see chairs, musical chairs within the church. It's already an absolute disease in the church. We want to see you guys go out and take the empty chairs that are in here and make connections with your neighbors and with your family members and with your coworkers so that they can come in and meet the Lord. That's what we want. This whole missional attitude, this priority in mission, is actually what makes the door. It's what gives the door its attitude and its flavor. Some of the things that we love the most about the door are because we're missionally minded first. Because that is the lens that we look through in every decision that we make here at the door, is mission. The transparency that we have here, the honesty that we have here, the authenticity that we have here, and Just the love that we enjoy here is all the a direct result of our goal, which is mission. And there's a lot more wheat in this Three Rivers field to bundle. And God wants us to go out and bundle it. So that's what we're intending. There was a gentleman, I was in here like Wednesday night, Thursday night. I was working alone doing some stuff, and this dude came in. And it's a guy that we all know very well. He's a fixture at the door. And he came in, and it was the first place he had seen it. And he just kind of stood there in the back corner, and he just kind of looked around the room, and he looked a little dazed. And then at one point, he finally looked me in the eyes, and he looked troubled. And he said two words to me: don't change. Don't change. I want you guys to grab your Bibles if you have them. And I want you to go to 1 Peter as we talk about the church building. We're going to be in 1 Peter chapter 2. We're just going to make a couple observations here about the church building. 1 Peter chapter 2. I think we'll read, we'll start verse 4. As you come to him, speaking of Jesus, a living stone rejected by men, but in the sight of God chosen and precious, you yourselves, like living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Observation number one about the church building. The church building is not the church. I know this is just elementary stuff, but we're going to do this anyway. The church building is not the church. God's building, God's church building, is within the building, within the structure. Right? Now that we have our own church building, I'll hear from a lot of people. In fact, I've heard this from a few people. It scared me a little bit. Now that we have our own church building, we're legit. Not true. I know a lot of humongous churches with beautiful structures all across this globe that are not legit churches for Jesus Christ. Just because I put on a police uniform right now doesn't make me a cop. Right? We've got that going on all over the place. According to 1 Peter 2:5, there is a church building that is being built. But it is not this. It is this. When the early church met, they didn't say, we need to go out and get us a building. Not that they could have, but they didn't. Right? They met on hillsides, and they met on mountaintops, and they met in the desert, and they met in the wilderness, in public marketplaces, on steps, on porches, in houses, second-story apartments that were not OSHA approved. If you're in a crowded Bible study on a second story, don't take the window seat. They would cram themselves into spaces that exceeded the maximum occupancy rating. They were crazy. They didn't care where they met. But every time they met in any of these areas, in every place, the building of God was present in every one of them. Paul says in Ephesians 2, 19 through 21, so then you who have believed in Christ are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and the members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in who the whole structure being joined together grows into a holy temple of God. That's the church building of God. It's us. So then, the building is not the church. The church is the building. Right? The church is the building. So then, what is this structure for? Why do we have church buildings? We believe that this is nothing more than a vehicle and a tool. It's a vehicle and a tool. It's a vehicle for us to worship the Lord as God's church building, and it's a tool for us to be on mission. And so we're going to talk a little bit about our opportunities with that God's given us here. There are questions we need to ask. What do we do with that building? Because I'm convinced that God doesn't care where we meet, obviously. But what do we do in the space that we meet in? What do we do in the structures that we come together and we gather in? Right? Are we going to worship it? I know it sounds silly, but it ain't hard. Are we going to worship the structure? Are we going to elevate the structure? Are we going to pull all of our money and all of our resources and put it into the building? Is it going to be the sum total of our identity? Who we are? And we're going to make it look cool. It's going to look door when we're done. But this structure is not who we are. Are we going to use it for cruise ship Christianity? Or are we going to use this structure as a battleship? You know what I'm saying? Is it going to add and forward our mission and purpose that God has given us? Or is it going to extinguish it? Buildings do extinguish congregations all the time. It's one of the reasons I was so scared to ever have one. For many congregations, these are questions worth asking. And they're questions worth answering. Right? For us as leaders of the door, this building God has given us is a vehicle for corporate worship, and it's a tool for gospel community. Worship and mission. And I believe each church location has its own unique missional advantage that the church can capitalize on. Right? For instance, when God moved us into that little strip mall that had an empty coffee shop, how could we capitalize on being missional to the community, making connections, missional connections to the community? We'll open the coffee house. It's the Northwest. People love their coffee as much as they like their animals. And we thought this just makes sense. This will be a great common ground for us to reach in to our community and for them to come in to assimilate with us. And it worked. It was absolutely beautiful. I wouldn't change a thing. And that thing ran for 2 years. What do we do now? How do we capitalize on the new space, the new location that God has given us? And there's a lot of things that we'll be talking about in the future, but Brent already mentioned this whole back half of the lower part of this building is a giant room that you guys haven't seen. We're thinking that a community room that is open all week long just makes sense. When you leave here today and you walk out the front door of this building, you're going to be staring at a school. There's a school staring back at this building. So what if God would now have a shift and capitalize on that opportunity, which is children and young people, would make sense because of our location. I was a youth pastor for a little time, and I found that one of the best ways into the home, into an unchurched home, is through the kids. I don't know how many parents that swore they would never walk into a church would end up coming because their kid drug them. And some of them even ended up staying. It's a great opportunity for us. The obvious opportunity of this building, I've already hit on it, is room to grow. We obviously want to have room to grow. We want room for the future. And we will plant a church eventually. You've been hearing us talk about that. When the time's right, when God pulls the trigger, we'll go do that. But again, we have not begun to tap the well of this community yet. In fact, we've barely scratched the surface, I believe, of the Three Rivers community and seeing people meet Jesus and bringing the gospel to a lost people. There's more room. We have room. The second observation we can make from this text is that the church building of God is living. It's living. God does not use plywood to build his building. He doesn't use plaster or concrete or drywall. He uses living organisms, such as you and me, to build his building. And every single time that someone gets saved, stones get added to that building, which is a very cool thing. Every time someone meets Jesus, the building gets a little bigger, a little more beautiful, and a little more complete. That's the church building that God is developing. God's building does not stand silent where it stands. It does not stand lifeless, and it is not passive like structures that are made by human hands. Because God is not working with dead materials. God's building has a voice. And it has a heart that loves. And it has a story to tell in the community that that structure stands. Our story that we have to tell is the greatest story ever told. And people need to hear it. And there's power in that story when we tell it. It doesn't go out void. The Holy Spirit of God moves through the truth of the person and work in Jesus Christ, and it raises the dead. The structure of God has a voice, and it has life. Right? Skip. I never do that. I'm looking at the clock going, whatever. The living church of God is the hope of the surrounding community that it's in. It is the hope. And it's not because of us, like we talked about earlier. It's because of He who is in us. It's because that which God has entrusted to us is special. Which brings us to number 3. And I want you actually to roll your eyes down to verse 9 of the same chapter. You are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for His own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him that called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. What a verse, man. What a verse, right? Observation number 3. The beauty of God's church building is within the building. The beauty of God's building is within the building. It's that which gathers in the midst of the structure. It's you and it's me. And I'm like JP. I don't feel very beautiful a lot of the times. And when I look at these words, it's hard for me to claim them as my identity. But this is what God has made us, not because of us, but because of Jesus. Right? A lot of people wonder all the time what their identity is. People trying to find themselves, right? People trying to define themselves. But if you've believed upon Jesus Christ, look no more. Here's what you are. You are a chosen race. You are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, and a possessed people of God. That's what this represents. That's the beauty within the structure. We can go down to Not Landfill next week and meet in that garbage building. And there will be beauty within that structure when we do. Because of He who is in us. Because of what God has made us. Taking that old identity, all that old garbage that we remember, the stuff we've done, the stuff we've said, the stuff we know about ourselves. And He has thrown it out, nailing it to a cross. And He has given us, handed us, adopted us, and given us a new identity, which is that we are now children of God, a holy nation, a people for His own possession. That's our identity here. That's who the people of the door is. We are His, fully and utterly, because of His goodness, not because of yours. This building doesn't look like much right now. It's like Brent pointed out. In fact, that scares me. I keep looking at it. And actually, those scare me because I'm a chimney guy, and those are just like floating in the ceiling. I don't know what's keeping them from coming down. There's no one sitting under those, right? We left an aisle right there. A lot of work has been done in this place. And like Brent said, you guys are just amazing, man. You guys are just machines. I don't even want to do this part, but I'm going to call one guy out. Cy Smith is a machine. A machine for Jesus. Was that easier? We're going to fix this place. This place is going to look cool when we're done. Like I said, it's going to have our personality. We're going to put our fingerprints on it. We're going to make it look as street level as we can, as unlike a church as we can, and as inviting as it can for normal people. And it'll be pretty neat, you know, when we put the touches on it. But this physical building, even when we're done, is just going to look like another ordinary structure to this community. It's going to look like another ordinary structure. But what gathers here and what comes out of here when we scatter is far from ordinary because of who God has made us. Far from ordinary. The beauty of God's church building is within the building. Makes me think big story stuff. Remember the tabernacle? There were two things, big things that God gave Moses. One was the Ten Commandments and one was the blueprints and the mandate to build the tabernacle of God among the Israelites, a place where God would dwell. And so Moses received those two things. And within those blueprints, God gave very specific details of how every single piece of that tabernacle was to be constructed, down to every inch, every color, every material in there, where everything was placed. It was crazy, and it was intricate. If you were to walk in and see the inside of the tabernacle, it would be one of the most beautiful things that you have seen. Everything was drenched in gold, fine linen, just amazing inside that place. But if you were a stranger walking in the desert and you came across that tabernacle, you wouldn't think much of it at all. Because what that tabernacle was covered in was goat skins, ram skins, and badger skins. There was a lot of death covering that tabernacle. And some of us may even want to think, if we walk up on it, that it was a pretty ugly structure. It wasn't until you got inside that you saw the beauty. It wasn't until you got inside that you saw the beauty. That is true also of us in this place. Same thing. We don't want to have a beautiful structure at the door. We want to be the beautiful structure at the door. The people. The community. We want to worship here in spirit and in truth. We want to be mainlined to God. Because that's where we're filled up in beauty. We want to live lives in the midst of this community that are in righteousness, coupled with humility, not self-righteousness. Righteousness coupled with humility. We want to be ministers of this community that God has put us in with purpose and with love and compassion. We are the beauty within the structure because Jesus has made us that way. So we cannot hide in this structure. And it's so funny because I heard several prayers. I think one was from Monet and I think one was from Callie that spoke about this. Interesting when that happens. Look at verse 9. You are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Identity, God's purpose, mission. It's all right there. The beauty of God's church building is not meant to be hidden or contained within a structure. We must pour out of this structure so that people may see Christ in us and hear a message which brings people to life. We must open these doors and turn the beauty loose that God has given us. In 2009, there was a show that aired called Britain's Got Talent. Everybody's got to know, remember this story once I get going into it. There was a lady named Susan Boyle. Boom, there it is. Yes, I remember that. I think it's only been seen by everybody that's ever lived. Okay, it was episode 1, 2009, right? And I had to watch it again the other day because I forgot about it. I don't even know why I thought about it. And this lady gets up there. And when this lady walks onto the stage, you guys remember? She doesn't look like anything. In fact, she doesn't look like she can produce anything beautiful. And I don't mean that mean. The crowd was thinking the whole thing. The same thing the whole time. And when you saw her, it was panning. The camera would pan across the audience. And you can see them all snickering, rolling their eyes, making comments at the person sitting next to them. They're all ripping on this lady because of what she looked like when she walked out onto that stage. And the judges are doing the same thing. And I think one of them asked the question, what is it that you're wanting to do out of this? And she said, I want to be a professional singer. And you could hear the crowd laugh at her. They laughed at her. And they asked her a couple questions as far as where she was from and what her life was about. And she even fumbled the answers to those questions. She couldn't even talk right. And she just didn't look like anything. And they asked her what song she was going to sing. And she says, this is the song I'm going to sing. And they said, okay, Susan, go ahead. And that music started, and her mouth opened, and jaws hit the floor. Jaws hit the floor. People could not believe that what they were hearing and experiencing was coming out of what they were seeing. That is us. That is the church of God. We ain't much to look at. And this building isn't going to be much to look at. But what kind of story are we going to write because of He who is in us when we go out these doors? What will be the rest of the story of the door at Three Rivers? What kind of difference are we going to make in this place that God has put us? We are a light on a hill. God has not given us the treasure that He's given us so that we can hide it under a bushel. Right? You're supposed to say, no. He's given us what He's given us so that we can throw it around on other people. The beauty that God has in His church building must pour out of these doors and permeate the world around us. If you want to be a part of that, then stay in your seat. Welcome to the door. If you're all about you and what church can do for you, you're going to be disappointed here because we're just not good servants and butlers. We are here to serve the living God who has given us a gospel that is alive, hidden in a church that is alive, a church being built. That's why we're here. We're going to come and we're going to take communion. We're going to remember why now we are valuable to God. We're going to remember why now that we have been called priests of the Most High, a chosen people, a holy nation that is possessed. And that's because of what Jesus Christ did on our behalf. Right? When you walked into that temple, Moses' temple, there was one door. One door. Imagine that. This is going to be a great study for, I don't know if this is going to fall on Brent or Jordan, but when they do the temple study, I mean, you can go on for weeks with just all the pictures. God knew exactly what He's doing. He always has. He's always had the same story to tell over and over and over again throughout scriptures from the very beginning. And it was one of redemption. Right? When you walk through that one door, that one entrance, you would be facing the holiest place, the Holy of Holies where God dwelt. Only you couldn't see it because there was a curtain or a veil in front of it. But later, when the person of Jesus Christ would come and live and die, He tore that thing down so that now you and I can walk into that temple and face God. And be called children. And be accepted. And even holy. Because of Christ. May your hearts be blessed this morning. And may there be much praise that you can give to Jesus today. Who did all the heavy lifting for you. And for me. That we may be accepted. Let's pray. Lord God, I pray that we would not change a thing. I pray that we would be gospel saturated. I pray that this building will be a blessing to you and to this community and to this congregation, not a curse. Help us, Lord, to make the main things, and to keep them there. Thank you, God, that I am your child, a chosen vessel, a royal priest, part of a holy nation, because you desired me to be. I thank you for the company that I keep, and I pray that this structure will be filled with the power of your Spirit and the love of your Spirit and the truth that comes from your Spirit to us every single day that it is ours. We ask this in your name. Amen.